Hello, welcome to Cage Club Revisited. This is a new thing we're doing.
Hello.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And we are going back and watching every Cage movie again, as you know, you may know. We're going back and watching every Cage movie again and doing audio commentaries over them. I mean, we might just do a few and be like, oh, this is a terrible idea, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, and we're not necessarily going to be going in any in order either, so they're going to come out as we get them done. And we're going to start here, though, with the very first thing Cage was ever in.
Best of Times. And the Best of Times, we're watching the version that you can find on YouTube. So if you want to go to YouTube, we're going to start playing in 3, 2, 1, and go.
Okay.
I kind of forgot how, like, terrible this quality is, but that's fine.
And it starts super abrupt as well. We're just launched into Crispin Glover's dirty room.
And it's like, so this is the kind of bedroom that, like, does this exist in real life? Like, have you ever been in a bedroom that's this dirty?
Not this comically dirty. No, not at all. With the dog on the bed and the big basset hound.
Like, this obviously came out before I was born, but, like, my sort of version of this, I guess, would be like the 90s when you always have, like, the coolest bedrooms in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, did you ever watch that show on Nickelodeon? I think Nickelodeon, My Brother and Me?
No,
oh,
it might have been after my
they
time.
They had the coolest bedroom. They had, like, this, it was just two brothers sharing a room. They had, like, basically the size of my apartment. It was, like, a bedroom, it seemed
oh,
like.
Man.
And they had, like, a huge fish tank, and it was just, like, amazing. Like, it's just, you know, one of the sets that they had all the time in the show. But I feel like that's kind of the stereotypical whatever. It's that you have, like, a huge bedroom or, like, a disgust. Like, look at me, I'm a teenager. Look how dirty my bedroom is.
Yeah, it's definitely a trope. Oh, here he is, Nick Cage. Introduction, so, one-arm push-up.
A couple important things. Oh, there he goes. But a couple things to note about that is that the beach is going to come back a lot.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the beach a lot. Also, push-ups are going to come back, you know, never on Tuesday. He's not doing them, but, you know, other people are. I'm sure there's other people doing push-ups, but we'll find out.
Con Air, I think he does them in.
Oh, that's true.
Shirtless Cage, that's a big one. It's going to come back a few times. But this is this show is like rapid fire. I only saw it the one time we watched it for the very first episode, and he is just booking through who all of his friends are and what they like to do, and everyone gets their little moment here.
Yeah, so this was not really a movie. This was supposed to be a pilot for a TV show that didn't get picked up. So Cage never did TV again, unlike Keanu, who we started doing a podcast about, because he did a bunch of TV, and Shia, who we did a podcast about, did some TV too. And we finally just got to, as we're recording this now, we finally got to our first episode of TV for Zack Attack. So pretty much everybody's done TV except for Cage, and I guess I can't imagine what his life would have been like if this was picked up.
Can you blame him for not going back if this is your debut? I think I heard him mention in an article once why he turned down the American Gods show. It was he was considered for that. He said he doesn't want to spend too much time with one character because he might get too bored with it and lose.
And I think he also doesn't want to stay too much time in, like, one city. Like, he wants to keep moving around.
Yeah, so maybe that was with him from the very start. Like, he was like, ah, man, television's not for me because I'm just going to get sort of stuck with this one role, and that's not what he wanted to do. But
man, this is so exciting. I'm just thinking about, like, we've been talking about this for, like, we wanted to put this out last August for the one-year anniversary, and then we just ran out of time. Plus, I was down in Texas. This has to be something that you do sort of in person. Otherwise, it'd be a real disaster. So all these, this is the other important thing to note, is that all of these are going to be recorded live from Cage Club Podcast Network headquarters.
There's the title.
Title and card.
Best of Times and the song and everything.
Oh, and then
the
presented by
break.
Charmin, I think, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cage Club presented by Charmin.
It's so weird to see bumpers during the Cage Club.
Now, we don't have toilet paper come back, from what I remember, but we do have diapers come back in Raising Arizona.
Yeah, and in The Family Man, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Trying to change the diaper sequence is great. This kid never comes back. That Hawaiian shirt might show up down the line in Honeymoon in Vegas, but I don't know what else. Phone booths, remember those?
Well, interesting. I mean, this is a real stretch of a connection, because I don't know how we're gonna release these episodes. But the next one we're doing, we're going to be joined by Chris Mattiello of Now and Again, and we are going to do the Superman documentary. So, Phone Booth Superman.
Oh, wow.
So there's a weird Cage connection that has nothing to do with Cage, except the fact that, you know, they're both.
This kid has the look that they were almost going for Clark Kent. We'll get to him when we get to him, but it's just, my mind is starting to merge, like, anything into Cage Club.
And we just started. Now, I can't imagine if, like, the fever dreams these are going to be.
Well, Crispin, we didn't even mention, comes back a couple times. Like, he plays the head Gatsby in
the
Racing
with the
Bowling
Moon.
Alley.
Racing with the Moon.
Yeah, he comes back in Wild at Heart. He even shows up in Keanu Club. Oh, here we go.
God, I love it.
What is going? I mean, people, I guess they just used to hang out and work out outside at the beach, shirtless, and men used to wear Daisy Dukes.
Well, I guess this was a real thing, at least in California, right? Like,
it looks at people. Looks like they're just watching them film this in the background. You got guys posing there and kind of working out. Oh man, that was like mesmerizing. I feel like, I hope we don't not talk over the Cage stuff just because he's on screen. But,
well, I mean, like, you can always go back and watch this without our commentary, or pause the commentary, whatever you want to do.
Oh, Jackie Mason.
Also, if you are listening to this commentary, let us know, because I don't know who's actually going to listen to these.
I wonder if these two ever showed up in the same movie again. Jackie Mason and Crispin Glover seem to be names of a certain era. Like, I feel like they both did most of their work in the late 80s, probably. But I remember Jackie Mason growing up with him. His comedy was everywhere. So there's Kate. Oh, here they go, recycling. Look at this. Recycling was a thing even back then that they were trying to promote during these kids' shows, you know? We're still trying to recycle the world.
Well, so what's interesting about Best of Times, and I guess interesting is maybe in quotes, because I'm not actually sure how interesting it is they really try to touch on a lot of really important themes, and like important themes being capitalized.
Current social issues that bother kids, right?
About fear of going off to war and sort of fear of a future and...
Yeah, global warming.
So I guess the recycling thing falls right into line with that.
Mm-hmm. But it's a stretch back then, even. They're like, well, we're really grasping for straws. Like, what else is there aside from nuclear annihilation? You know, what else can we talk about if there even is a future?
One of my favorite scenes.
Here we go, the music concrete showcase.
Cage playing the comb.
The comb ever an instrument? It is now.
I was looking at my notes. Like, I have my notes on my lap. I'm not really using them because, I mean, I don't really need them. But I was looking through and I was like, oh, right, the comb as an instrument. Like, I completely forgot. Like, we did so much Cage so fast, and we've done so much since then.
Yeah.
That, in just in terms of, like, what we're podcasting about, but also what we're just watching, that it's the little details like that I forget about. But as soon as I, like, think about it, I'm like, oh, right, that's it.
Yeah.
Comb as a microphone.
Here he comes. He's coming again. This whole thing blew my mind. It's mind-blowing at first. Just... I love the concept, and I dare say this is probably the best stuff in Best of Times.
It's just all so weird. Like, I don't know who this is for. Because stuff is for, like, tweens.
Tape cassettes.
It's probably for, like, tweens and, like, young teens, but, like, mm-hmm. Then they get real heavy about the future, and it's like, well, what's that for?
Right, it's almost... reminding me sort of like a show like All That, where it's like kids performing skits for kids, or like I think I mentioned on this episode, you can't do that on television. It was more for my generation, but
Cage does dance a few more times.
But you're right, like the tonal balance is off. Like, I could see this being like, you know, just a sketch show for
like,
kids.
Like, this is insane.
Yeah, but this is fun. Like, this isn't heavy, right? Like, later when they start doing their confessionals to the camera, like, then I'm like, well, okay, kids are going to change the channel during that. And if they think that that's going to be a standard part of the show, they're not going to tune back in. But Crispin carries this thing.
Yeah,
like I would watch a show with him. I'm surprised he didn't go on to be
was
in head of the
first
class
thing?
Or something.
Did we look at that? Did we ever look that up, what his first thing was?
I don't think so. This might have been. If I'm not mistaken, he even went to... I don't know if this is true, but I think I found this out during one of the A&E biography or during the Behind the Actor studio. Him and Crispin and Cage may have even gone to the same high school or knew each other like prior to this. They have...
Okay.
A deep history.
So this was his first thing as well. Interesting to note, you mentioned before, he's actually going to be in American Gods.
Oh, wow.
So that would have
How
been a really
that?
Cool, like, not beginning and end, but, you know.
That's a show for him. I feel like he deserves to be on that show. Where the idea behind that show seems like something right up his alley of them being like, he can stretch as an actor.
You know what's kind of crazy? I'm looking at his IMDb now because he's got a bunch of TV shows and he's got a couple movies before he gets to Racing with the Moon. He's not in Racing with the Moon that much. But then he goes Racing them with the Moon to Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next movie is Back to the Future.
Oh, like, wow.
That's becomes a huge jump.
Yeah, he was being groomed to be a huge star. Well, he's the best. The part four recently was a Friday the 13th, and I watched a bunch of them, and our future guest, Chris Mattiello, was like, part four is the best. I'm inclined to agree with him at this point, and a large part is in due to Crispin's performance and being in that movie. Cage.
More workout.
He hasn't left the beach yet. Does he go to school with them, or is he like the older, weirder guy that hangs out and like wants to be in high school?
It's important to note he's only like 16 or 17 here, and he looks...
he looks 21 at least.
And that's going to come into play when we watch... It's going to be so weird to watch like a movie like Fast Times where he's in for 8 seconds.
Yeah.
But we're still going to do it. But they wanted him to be Brad, the Judge Reinhold character.
Oh, good.
And then he was too young to do like a full work day because he wasn't 18 yet. So they made him Brad's bud. And so it's interesting. Like, it's, I don't know if it's interesting again. I'm going to keep using the word interesting when nothing's really actually interesting. But if you're listening to this, maybe it is interesting. I don't know. That they wanted him to be a star. He just was too young. But he still looks... like he can fit the part.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like Valley Girl Cage already. Like, I feel like, you know, just a little more hair on his chest and a few more articles of clothing, and it'll be pretty much that same.
Man, I'm so excited to rewatch Valley Girl, and like, I don't know, like, we've been looking for people to volunteer for episodes, basically people who have been guests on Cage Club who live anywhere near us. I love it.
Just pointing at his bicep.
We're trying to get them to come over to do commentaries, and we have more than half of them assigned, but like nobody's picking It Could Happen to You, and I really want to rewatch that because I love that movie.
Yeah, and I mean, people just aren't aware of like Firebirds or The Boy
in
Blue.
So for Firebirds, I did have a friend. He wanted to do. He's like, oh, the Face Off was taken, or The Rock was taken. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like, if you want action, do Firebirds. He's like, all right.
Yeah,
so we
Tommy
got Firebirds
Jones.
Assigned.
Okay, cool. Because that is. An incredible movie. I mean, not good incredible, I just, it's so crazy just that it even exists. We'll get there.
He is the greatest.
But honestly, like, Cage goes from the beach to the Quickie Mart, back to the beach. That's his whole life.
Well, I wonder if this is shot out of order? Or not shot out of
Probably,
order, but
like,
sequenced out of order.
Yeah, I mean, this show is all mixed up. It's literally like, let's shoot a bunch of stuff and shuffle it like a deck of cards and then just present it.
Do you think... that these 48 minutes that we're watching now, do you think this is the full thing, or do you think we're missing parts?
Yeah, I think we might be missing like a couple, maybe a minute or two in the beginning, because it does start really abrupt on YouTube. Like, it just seems like the beginning got cut off maybe, but I'm pretty sure it was, you know, with commercials it probably ran for like an hour. Here we get Cage giving that guy advice on how to pick up chicks, and like, that's another big Cage thing, is he's always a ladies man, no problem with the women.
Now, what's interesting, and I feel like we're going to sort of go on a lot of tangents here, but we got so much time to kill, so I'm just going to talk about whatever. Yep. We just did the Entourage episode for Zack Attack.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that we've noticed over and over again in Zac Efron movies is that even though he's basically a Greek god, I mean, yeah, Cage doing a little two-step, even though Zac Efron is like a beautiful, like an impossibly beautiful man.
Yeah, he's an Adonis.
Women just seem to always turn him down. They're like, oh, no, I'm not interested, which is the weirdest thing. But we finally got to in Entourage, because he actually plays himself, the actor, and not a character.
Okay.
Women are throwing themselves over him in the one scene he's in. It's basically action, like we did for Keanu. Keanu's in one scene. Zach's in one scene for this.
Oh, okay.
So we watched an entire episode of Entourage as opposed to an entire episode of Action, which is, you know,
what would you rather do again?
Well, neither's good, but this is also, it's crazy how little happens to this episode of Entourage. Like, we broke it down, and we're like, nothing
Let me guess,
happens.
Like, they smoke weed, they have
sex. No weed.
Oh,
there
really?
Is sex.
There's no weed in an episode of Entourage? That seems like... kind of strange. It was in an early episode.
No, season 6, I think.
Oh, Ari yells at Lloyd.
Yep. Lloyd actually quits.
Ooh, the Lloyd quits episode. Did he quit for the first time? Here comes Chris Crispin. Is this the car wash? Was there a car wash? I seem to remember there was a car wash sequence in this, or something that they did.
Oh, there definitely is a car wash. Isn't like there? It's but not. It's a manual car wash, though. Isn't
right,
it?
That's
not,
what I
yeah.
mean. Is that what they do to make money? Memories are slowly.
I don't know what this is.
Creeping
back.
He is.
He's
wearing like Robin Williams suspenders.
He's like in a warehouse. Oh no, he's kind of. They're at a gas station. This might be the car wash scene.
What I love about Crispin Glover is like he's weird enough to be believable as a normal kid, but also like a talented actor in his own right. Like, he has that awkward kid thing going on here.
Which is good now, but, like, he never really gets rid of that. Like, he's always an awkward kid, no matter how old he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he just keeps pushing it. Oh, my gosh, they just take over this gas station. They're singing. They can't. That is so dangerous. This is like Zoolander.
Is Cage wearing, overalls with no shirt? Yeah, right?
Oh, man, look at the Farmer Cage. What is that
and a
look?
Scarf?
He's got a little, ascot around his
now,
neck.
Now, Cage's never played gay, I don't think, in any movie, but this is the closest.
That is some YMCA stuff. Like, that is some Village People looking thing.
People
that.
Just, like, riding, like, there's nobody knows. Oh, that's Cage.
Okay, okay. Well, you know him in sports cars.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Remember when we watched... You know, Never on Tuesday, we're like, Men in Red Sports Car, and then we saw it like three more movies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What if every
us.
Movie, like, that's another reason we want to do this, is like to see the other Cage connections that we didn't know were Cage connections until we like saw them in a bunch of things. So, like, imagine if that was a Red Sports Car, like the first movie's in, it would have been great. That's like a
my
blue
mind
would have
exploded. But, yeah. I mean, but yeah, that's right. I love how that Red Sports Car just started haunting us for a couple episodes.
It was literally like three things in a row. It was amazing.
Does Cage ever bust out into, like, a dance sequence? Sort of? I mean, he dances, you know, again, like, in Face Off, and he has his little... But look at this is all, like... This is like La La Land, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wow,
they are at
yeah,
the
you're,
car
you're right.
wash. Shaking his ass. Like, he's so game for it, you know? Like, that's what I love. Everyone here seems to be wanting this to succeed.
And people, like, sort of... I guess they kind of can give him shit for being, like... Oh, well, your uncle's Francis Ford Coppola, like, that's the only reason that you got anywhere or whatever. Like, that's why... Or that's why it was so easy for you to get started. But, like, this is not a guy who's, like, worried... Like my uncle made The Godfather. I'm not going to dance for you. Like, he's just going to do whatever.
Yeah, this looks like the kids from the movie Fame.
This
you know,
is crazier like, than I remember.
Much, much crazier. Look at the line. It's like the gas lines from... Oh, man, now we go to the commercial. That was crazy. I didn't even forgot the cheapo video effects of how that became a photo on his wall.
Wah,
on his
wah, 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 wah. I also forgot how terrible the audio sync was on this.
Yeah, I think it drops out of sync more and more as it goes along. So, good for us. But we're kind of listening to this with the audio down a little bit.
It doesn't really matter.
What's weird about these two is they look like normal kids today as well.
Yeah.
For the most part, these two blonde Aryans here.
Trump's America. okay, so what movies are you most looking forward to rewatching? Which ones do you not want? So I mean,
I don't
feel
have
like,
the list, but
why no, I'm we got half an hour still on this episode, so we got a lot of time to kill. But in terms of like not necessarily like your because I don't know if like rewatching a favorite movie is going to be the best to talk about, but like in terms of rewatching things that you
Moonstruck is definitely high up there. I'm
okay.
looking forward to that. I've actually been actively trying not to watch a lot of Nick Cage stuff recently. And,
okay,
that's one I've really wanted to watch again. I like Boy in Blue. You know, like those early ones, I really want to see again because those were the sort of
Birdie.
I feel like the Birdie. Yeah, like those are the first time I saw those movies, and I really haven't revisited them, which is why I really like that we're doing this. And as we went on with Cage's career, like I've seen Raising Arizona 100 times. Like I've seen his action trilogy 100 times. Like I want to see those again, but I just feel like those I've only seen once or twice in my life are going to be the ones that I'm really looking forward to.
Because I think it's important to, again, not important, to note that we're doing this really mostly for us and not for you. I mean, if
yeah.
you're listening to this and you're enjoying this, that's fine. But like, we're just doing it because we want to rewatch these movies because we want to sort of watch them in a way that we haven't before, which is together, and just sort of relive. Because it's kind of like a greatest hits of what we've done, what we're interested in, and also what Cage did.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to sort of regurgitate all this stuff once we've acquired it over the course of doing it the first time. It's like kind of interesting to see what we remember and what's going to come out and all the different connections we can make.
I feel like what's weird, maybe just because we did... I don't know why this is, but I remember so much more about Cage's early stuff than Keanu's. And I don't know if it's because we did so much so quickly that it was just... That's all I could think about. Or because I liked it more. Or because...
I think it's because we did it so quickly. You gotta, like, I don't even... I even have trouble sometimes realizing how fast we went.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like a...
And we were dumb about it, too. Like, we yeah. we recorded the episode for, like, this episode came out August 2nd, I think, 2015.
Yeah.
And we recorded this, like, I don't know, July 31st? Like, yeah. Like, why did we not give ourselves a head start?
Yeah, we didn't give ourselves any sort of buffer zone or time like that, like we're doing with Keanu. We're kind of, like, 2 months ahead, almost, or something like that. But, yeah, I think part of it has to do with... just that it was a marathon session for the most part. It's just like, we're going to do it over this short
amount of time. I still don't know how I did that. Because, like, you edited one of them, but I edited all of them, and I wasn't working from home at that time. Like, I was working a job where I wasn't in front of my computer, like, at home.
I so, can't
like,
imagine. As editor of the Keanu Clubs, like, and I only have to get one a week out, like, I can't imagine, how, like, the pressure or just...
I mean, it just became a part. Like, I realized that. I think. I mean, you helped a lot because you pulled the clips and you sent the clips over, and like it was fun to do. But like, I did the math, and you know, in an average week, I was doing like 25 hours of Cage Stuff a week, every week for 6 months.
I don't think either of us were prepared for the behind the scenes workload of like what it takes. It takes more than just, you know, talking over the internet to put out a podcast. And we were just sort of like, yeah, let's make it a podcast. Sure, why not? Like, how hard could it be? And it's not that it's hard or anything. It's just it's very time-consuming, much more time-consuming than just recording the actual episode.
Like, that's the thing that I would like to do podcasts about so many different things. Like, I've really never watched SNL, and I want to watch SNL and be like, I want to go back and do an episode for each episode, but, like, I don't want to do that work, and nobody wants to do that work.
Yeah, no one, especially for free, and that's what we're doing all this for, is for free. You
and
know?
So...
And like, we don't want to put up a paywall or anything like that. That would be ridiculous.
And so, like, Joe D, or Joe 2, I'm sorry, Joe 2, my Zack Attack co-host, his wife, when she found out that I was watching Sopranos for the first time, she's like, let's do a podcast. And I was like that'd be cool, but, like...
Yeah.
Number one, I want to watch an episode a day, and neither of us are going to have time to record something every day. Number two, who wants to edit that?
Yeah, and that you want to just enjoy without having to really take notes.
Like, I would love to talk. Yeah, I would love to talk about it for half an hour, an hour each episode. But I just don't have.
I think when I remember when that first aired, I don't even think podcasts were a thing.
Nope.
Existed when Sopranos first aired, but when it finished by the last episode, they were a thing.
So I remember first hearing about podcasts in, like, 2004.
Okay, yeah, that's roughly around the time I started. I listened to a lot of video ones. I wondered, like, Dig Nation was on TV, on the internet, but, yeah, I listened to, like, one or two, like, The Real Happy Hour, which isn't around anymore.
Oh, right, they're Peanuts dancing.
Oh, I see.
But I remember back in 2004, 2005, I was playing Halo 2 basically 6 hours a day, every day for 9 months. Because it was just the best. I would come home from school and do my homework, or do part of my homework, and just basically play it until I went to bed and finish my homework or whatever. It was great. I was really social. But I was playing online with people. And I remember I had one friend who also lived in New Jersey who I'd never met in real life, but I actually went to college with people who knew him and knew his family. So it's weird how, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, the school we went to, it was pretty much entirely New Jersey people, so that makes sense.
It helped. Yeah.
Right. But... I remember him telling me about podcasts. He's like, we could start like, because Harry Potter was big at that time. He's like, we start like, what would we do? Like, we just talk about it? He's like, yeah. I was like, but who would want to listen to that? Which I still don't understand who wants to listen to this. But like, I know that, you know, I listen to podcasts every day, you know, Never Not Funny and Comedy Bang Bang and everything. Like, I know why those, but like, still, I don't know why any of you are listening to us.
We're not professional comics. It's funny, because back then I had this friend Greg, and him and I, We did a couple episodes. We had a show called The More Input Show, where we just talked about, like, once a week our favorite movie or a book or a album or something. But, no, you know, like, it was two nobodies in a basement from New Jersey, so, like, no one was listening. And after, like, a couple episodes, we just kind of were like, yeah, let's move on, try and do something else. So it's kind of funny. 10 years later, I'm doing Cage Club.
I think we mentioned it on the Keanu Clubs, but John Brooks, who's our religion expert for Keanu Clubs, so he was on the Matrix episodes, he was on The Devil's Advocate, he was on Little Buddha, he was on all those things. He and I had a podcast. I'm trying to figure out how many episodes. We did a lot of episodes, like surprisingly kind of a lot. We did, it was called Sports for Starters, and we did, how many did we do?
Cage delivers the newspaper, threw it right on the roof of the house. Completely missed the front door.
John and I did 60 episodes of Sports for Starters.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, doing laundry, finding the lingerie. I listened to a bunch of those episodes.
Sports and Starters?
Yeah,
they were fine. It was weird though, because like the early ones were edited by Christian Larson. Oh my god,
you'd be in the hospital. He put his hand on the wrong side of the irony.
God, there's so much going on. I feel like we can't
water
really do
slides. I don't remember a water slide. I wish. Okay, so one of the girls helps out that band. I wish they were a band. You know, like Kate playing drums and
like
stuff.
Like a Monkey Business band?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It feels like the type, like, if I was somewhere involved in this show, I'd be like, these kids need to be solving crimes, like, in a big van with, like, something crazy written on the side. And give them a dog, too. Don't they just seem like a live-action sort of Scooby-Doo crew to you?
It definitely feels like a cartoon.
There's a bit of, like, a Sesame Street vibe with this part, which is a little disconcerting, seeing as how they're like 12 years older than the average Sesame Street kid.
Oh, they're driving go-karts.
Oh, here we go.
I do want to point out that for our not for our listeners, but for you, I moved the chair here so we could have three, and my cat is so confused. You might hear her on podcast because she is the most talkative cat I've ever met. She's quiet now, but eventually, I should probably come on the couch or something, but...
Not only don't I remember there being this much music, I don't remember there being this much nonsense. Like, it made... Like, the earlier nonsense I could live with because we were doing bits, but this, they're just frolicking through a park.
We had a quick split second of the McDonald's commercial.
I think... Oh, there's the pinball stuff again, but I think we're coming up on Cage's heavy...
Is it just me, or is that a gigantic pinball machine? Like, that's super wide, isn't it?
It looks pretty big. Either that or that girl is is miniature. That's pretty awesome. They have skee ball. They have a whole arcade there going on at the beach. Maybe it's Santa Monica at the pier.
Oh, did you see in the news this week, there's a house in California they built that's cost $250 million. And they have like all glass everything in like game rooms. Like they have like all glass foosball tables. Look, everything in the house looks amazing. But they have one, they have a pinball machine that's they have a champagne bottle that like actual, you know, really expensive champagne that's just like a bumper sort of.
That's awesome. That's pretty good. I love pinball. Big pinball guy. None of these other people, it's weird that nobody else went on to do anything.
My cat just hit the rewind button, so this get a few extra seconds of bonus podcasting. There you go.
It's okay. I think between that and the audio sync, we're probably still right on track. There's no need to adjust anything. But like she, I wonder if she auditioned for the Jennifer Jason Leigh role. Like, you know, like she looks like.
Oh, she does look like, yeah. Right, like in Fast Times, you mean?
Right. She looks like she could be in Fast Times. Like these other kids. Like, there's even the kid with the glasses and blonde hair looks like Brad's other friend, his loser friend. Like, this kid, right?
Yeah.
Here we go doing sit-ups.
You mean like the other beach. Dork that, like, he works at the
burger
place.
Shack.
Yeah,
so this almost looks like an alt cast for that movie. Imagine Crispin Glover in that movie as the ticket scalper, or even as the... not Dwayne, but like even as his friend.
What about Spicoli?
I could see Crispin as Spicoli. But that is sort of like the
perfect
role for Sean Penn.
Yeah, I know it's Sean Penn, but like Chris Penn, his brother.
Yes.
Chris Penn, Crispin.
Oh.
It's the same thing.
And Chris Penn was in a sort of, he was in this one movie with, not with Crispin, but he was in like his own version of like Fast Times that took place after college, I feel. I forget the name of that.
What's your... Is your favorite Chris Penn movie Reservoir Dogs?
Probably. I don't know if that's my favorite Chris Penn performance, but that's definitely... I think that's the best movie. I like him a lot in True Romance. I just like him and the other guy, like Nicolette and Dime. Like, I remember Tarantino in the commentary talking about how he based them off of sort of like the old 70s Starsky and Hutch. Like, if they had a show, they'd be called Nickel and Dime. And maybe two cops.
I love it. He's not in that much, though, right?
No, like just the third act.
Yeah,
there.
At the end.
They come in with Bronson Pinchot. And...
Man, I love that movie.
But he's just, like, really fast talking and, like, I don't know.
Coked up?
Perhaps, yeah. R.I.P. Chris Penn, though.
When did he die? In the 90s or 2000s?
I think it's the 2000s. Oh, man.
She kind of looks like Barb from Stranger Things.
Well, that takes place around this time, doesn't it? This is like 1983 or two.
This is 81.
Okay, so it's yeah, about 2 years before Stranger Things, right?
Is this guy new?
Oh, this kid. I don't remember seeing him.
Is he wearing a burger shirt?
He's wearing a burger shirt. It's like, I think it's the first black kid we've seen in the entire show, which is nice.
Good which diversity. Is actually something, because, like, for how much we love Cage Club, we have to point out that, like,
yes.
It's pretty it's not racist, but, like, there's not a lot
sensitive.
Of black representation, and there's also not a lot of strong female characters.
Yeah, and I don't know if that is due to just the times or what, or whatever it is, the politics, but, yeah.
Or it could just be Hollywood in general.
I'm just not looking forward to Amos and Andrew. It's the one movie I'm not looking forward to revisiting, I guess, like, out of everything. You know, there's, like, Time to Kill, which is going to be kind of painful, but at least it'll be, it's this weird sort of thing of its own.
Yep.
Amos and Andrew is, like, trying to be, like, a funny Hollywood comedy.
I was actually thinking about Amos and Andrew while we were recording this, because that is one of the ones, I think, right after Never on Tuesday, and there's the red sports car on the boat that brings over when Samuel Jackson buys the house.
It's like a bad omen. It becomes like a bad omen for a while if it shows up in a Cage movie. Like, something's kind of off. Yeah, this is a stretch. Like, I could not see this happening every week. There's no way you could keep this
up. Well,
that's
what I meant to ask. Like, if this got picked up, do you think it would last? Like, how long would, like, obviously, it wasn't good enough to get picked up, so,
right,
like, this
right.
is sort of a question that doesn't really have a good answer, but, like, if it got picked up, would it be, like,
here's what
a
I'd
year?
If I'm the network guy, I'd be like, okay, first of all, this show is a half hour, not an hour, or 20
yeah.
minutes instead of 40.
Wait, what? Do you think this is, like, a Saturday morning show?
Yeah. It's either a Saturday morning thing, or it's, like, a right-after-school special kind of thing.
Okay.
But most likely, I'd say Saturday morning, because they'd be doing things, you know, they show them outside of high school or school, whatever, but for the most part, it's things you could do, like, on a Saturday, like, go play pinball, go to the car wash.
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach and do some push-ups and pick up girls and stuff. Like, they're not in class ever. They're walking around outside of the high school, but you never see them really in class doing stuff. Like, now she's gabbing on the phone to her friend. And I do not think it would have lasted long anyway, either, because I just feel like cartoons were what kids wanted to see, not other kids. I mean, I don't know. Like, I remember watching a lot of sitcoms and just getting my fill of kids like me through that. Like, oh,
okay.
Every sitcom would have, like, a third child my age, and, like, oh, I'm a third child, and I'm young, and so I never felt like I needed, like, a live-action, you know.
Well, I think that's what's different
show.
About you versus me, and, like, because you're a little bit older than me. We learned that, I think, during, like, Even Stevens. I watched a lot of, like, kid shows on Disney, like Even
yeah.
Stevens and what's the Hilary Duff one?
Oh, Hannah Montana?
Nope.
Oh, I don't know.
Lizzie McGuire.
Okay, Lizzie McGuire.
And
I know Keenan and Kel. And, like,
this
okay.
girl looks so much like Phoebe Cates. Like, again.
Yeah, again, right? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like the alternate universe cast.
But I think that's what's the difference. Like, when you're in, like, the early 90s, I think, or early to mid 90s, whatever, whenever I was watching those shows, or early 2000s, or whatever, for Even Stevens, I think it was not more acceptable, but, like, I wasn't really looking for cartoons. I was looking for just, like, kid entertainment or whatever.
Yeah.
What is going on here? But, oh, geez.
Yeah, totally. Because, like, I mean, even as far as sitcoms went, you only had one or two that were central on the kids. Like either Different Strokes or Punky Brewster, and then I feel like the rest of them were well more rounded for, like, entire families. Like, you'd have episodes about the dad, the mom, the sister. Like, everyone would get their own episodes. But
Cosby?
Cosby
was both.
Cosby was mostly, though, like, him checking on each kid. I
yeah.
felt like it was more about Cliff
dosing the drinks.
Here we go, trying on clothes. One of my favorite things to do with my friends is go shopping and try on clothes and sing, and I've
so
never
all women and one
gone shopping
and
with
Crispin,
my friends
right?
like this. Yeah, that's right. He's there with four girls.
They're like, hey, we'll make you sexy in this purple cowboy shirt.
Yeah, and they're at the Ponderosa Gap.
Like, are they into him, or I don't...
No, this is like some kind of Grease 2 sequence where it's hyper-sexualized and nothing makes any sense. Like, all of a sudden they're into Westerns and being cowboys, and Crispin's hot. Not just our friend. Oh, they're singing Heartbreaker, right?
Do they have the, did they, I want, do they have the rights to this song?
There's a guy, it looks like Mario, with the red suspenders and the blue shirt.
Yep. Oh, cool legs,
dude,
ladies.
This is another La La
Land moment. I don't
remember
this, yeah. I remember this scene, but I don't remember like some of these shots.
And I don't remember it being a dancing sequence either. I thought they just went and tried on clothes.
Oh, boy.
But this is what we would have been in for, like three music videos of covers of popular songs. Like, this isn't even Heartbreaker sung by the original band. This is the cast of Best of Times.
Yeah, so like, I get. So I guess they're, I don't know what this, like, this can't be an expensive show to make. It's just like, what can we get like on the cheap, and then we just pay for the rights to songs, but not the actual masters? She looks like Patricia Arquette. A little bit. You know what I'm tired of hearing in movies? Spirit in the Sky.
Oh, man, yeah.
It I think is watched, in a lot of movies. I watched two movies this week where it was in that.
That's too many. I was like, after Contact, I never want to hear that
and
again.
And it's always the closing credits song. Like a...
Oh, that's
usually.
Weird.
Well, maybe not always. There's... So, there's two ways you can say that your movie's from the 60s. It's Spirit in the Sky and it's Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
And I'd never want to hear those in a movie again.
I think Spirit in the Sky worked well in Contact, and then because it was just a clip of it. It was like sort of like going through the dial, and it was about aliens. And then I liked it in, I think they used it in This Is the End, when they finally get up to heaven. They sing Spirit in the Sky as they're lighting joints off each other's halos.
Is that before or after they talk to the Backstreet
Boys? And then the Backstreet Boys come, yeah.
Does she have cherries on her shirt? Or those sunglasses?
No, sunglasses. But I've been trying to figure out what's on his sweater. Like, oh,
a star?
Just stars.
He's a cowboy.
Oh, right. He's got his...
Was that a military uniform?
Oh, maybe it's...
I don't think you wear it like that.
So. No, it's definitely just a sweater, but it's got some weird stuff on it.
It does look like a two-star general.
I love that, like, the fashion of her Jordache jeans and everything. Like, all the pants are just, like, way up in the middle of your waist back then, as opposed to now, where they're just hanging out down around your ass.
Hey, it was a different time. This is 36 years ago.
Whoa. What are these looks he's giving her?
He's super into her. It's still not like the. It's like, I don't know. I can't. I don't remember what they're saying. We're not listening to actually what they're saying. It seems like he's kind of into her, and she's like, "No, I'm looking to the future." But
she the only one that wasn't shopping with him. Maybe that's what it is.
Why were you with all my other friends? No. She was there.
Okay, she's just getting heavy because this is the heavy portion of the show where kids are going to start.
That's what I'm saying,
like,
yeah, because like we're
telling you what we're worried
about. We got 12 minutes left in this episode or this movie, and
we still have
the cage to come out of nowhere and just be like, "Hey, I don't want to die at war." It's like, wait, what are you talking about?
I'm thinking maybe it doesn't come completely out of nowhere. It seems like after that Heartbreaker sequence, they're starting to really put the weight on again and say, like, you know. Okay, there's a time to have fun, and then now's a time to talk like adults, and let's bring up some serious issues.
Can you imagine, though, that there was a time where, like, this obviously didn't get picked up, but, like, somebody liked this idea enough to finance this episode? Like, this is crazy.
They got Jackie Mason, for crying out loud. I feel like even in the early 80s, he was still a big, well-known comic. I mean, I don't know. Why is that kid wearing a Christmas sweater in California in the summertime?
Excellent question.
These types of stores sure haven't changed at all. Everyone just goes in there, they know their friendly neighborhood 7-Eleven clerk behind the counter. Like, I never got that. Like, I felt like Clerks, the movie, portrayed it perfectly. It's like, they talk to each other, not the customers. Like, they
right.
could give a shit about who comes in. Like, I don't try and hang out with the people who work at, like, my local.
I feel like it depends on where you are. Like, because if you ever go to a GameStop, and I don't go to GameStops anymore because I've never liked GameStop. I prefer to shop elsewhere. But if you go to a GameStop, like, there are kids hanging out, like, all the time. Like, that's...
Yeah,
I think
like,
it's a very
specific...
What are you doing
today? Going to GameStop. Like, what?
But, like, what's super weird is, like, the 22-year-old college graduate as a store manager is, like, hanging out with 10-year-olds. Like, that's weird.
That's strange.
Oh, they have a band. They're a band.
No, but it's not our group of kids. It's like
one
of
these kids. Oh,
it's
black kids.
It's kids, but she's the, like, their roadie. Like, that's the only friend of the group. Like, she's got two groups of friends, and this is like a
whole
separate...
She's two-timing Cage?
She's two-timing them all. It feels like this would be a whole other cast for, like, best of times, you know, nights or something. Like, you got your daytime kids, and then you got these kids.
We can live by day and... Or no, sleep by day and live by night. But they don't even say live by night.
I know. I was so... I was like, just say it. Come on, you know you want to say it.
I wonder if they wrote that in and somebody's just like, nah, like, just redlined through.
Maybe. I mean, it would have been Affleck, right? He wrote and directed it, so... Or I don't know if he wrote it, but...
He did write it.
He gave her a look like, you going to say it or not?
You see that Leo was an EP on that?
What's that?
Leonardo DiCaprio was an executive producer.
Oh, no, I totally missed that. Now we're not even talking about Best of Times. We're talking about Live by Night.
Which is not great.
No, but I liked Affleck in it. I felt like he... I like him and stuff. I don't know what this, what else can I say. He's not in great stuff, but...
We'll stay tuned for early next year, maybe. Hey.
We'll see, wink, wink. Oh, here we go. And he's got a shirt on.
88.
El Salvador,
I guess.
Is that where we were in 81?
I don't know. You were born.
Well, I just feel like all this would just be like, you know, I'm afraid of the Russians and like the Cold War, the Red Scare. That's what I was feeling as a kid growing up. Is we weren't practicing duck and cover because by that point they knew that didn't do shit. But there was definitely, you know, like at least until Rocky IV came out, it was like, all right, this is like some tense time we're living in, like. You even felt it as a kid.
Point his bicep again.
Wow.
Make a man out of me.
You're no man already. You're just a kid, Cage. You look like a grown adult, but on the inside, you're not. He's going to see his fair share of combat.
And that's some of his best stuff. And also some of his worst. Time to kill.
But yeah, it's... I like his war stuff. It's amazing how multi-genral he is. Is that even a term?
It's an adjective now.
Here we go. We're making up new words.
You know, we
here.
Talked about how he was never really in a Western. He was never in a musical.
Yes.
This is his musical.
This is his musical for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Because he's done three choreographed dance sequences...
choreographed is a strong word.
Okay.
For what they
were. With, like, it all was supposed to be in time. Singing and dancing with lots of other people. I'm never going to give up hope for the Western. I'm sort of giving up hope for him being a pirate in one of those Pirate of the Caribbean movies. I mean, in the direction those are going.
Is Johnny Depp even in the new one? Or they just
I don't know if he's
him?
In the new one, but if they're just like, Javier Bardem now, da-da-da, it's like, okay, like, why can't Cage be in there too? Maybe they'll make other types of pirate movies than he could be in, you know? Maybe they'll remake, like, The Seahawk or something, or... I don't know.
He would be a good old pirate.
Yeah, well, he almost gets there in Outcast.
I mean, he can't be a young
like,
pirate anymore.
No, yeah,
pirate.
Absolutely not. But it was... We almost get him... We get him as, like, that sort of mountain bandit, and when
yeah.
we get to Outcast, and he's very piratey. Well, woman, what are you looking at? Like, his wife that doesn't talk.
Yep.
He can sort of read her mind. Oh, is this the before the school dance?
I don't remember the school dance. Oh, well, I don't remember the school dance.
I don't either. I'm just trying to guess here because he's wearing a blazer now and we're winding down. It looks like it's sort of early evening.
This feels like it would fit into Keanu because a lot of Keanu's early stuff had like school dances and like presentations
oh.
and assemblies. And
absolutely. Like this feels way more in line with something Keanu would do early on. Like he's done... I feel like he's done stuff like this, or at least did segments for shows.
I also feel like, not that this is good,
right.
but this is at least more interesting than a lot of, like, that 8-movie stretch that Keanu did where he's all in high school, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because those were straight-up message movies, like after-school special films. Like, this is more
This
for...
is a straight-up message scene, but it's surrounded by wacky nonsense.
Exactly. This isn't, that's not it. I don't feel like that is its primary goal.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah, this is more just about, like, have fun, be sociable, go outside, you know, clean your room. That kid. Why is Jackie Mason at the dance? He doesn't work at the school.
Maybe he's a part-time guidance counselor.
Maybe he's like the chaperone. He's like, he'll
I do like how as soon as the song ends, everybody rushes over to grab handfuls of chips.
Maybe he's like...
Oh, maybe he was like, maybe he catered it.
Oh, okay, it could be.
Makes no sense.
He spiked the punch.
Cosby.
God.
Are you ever going to listen back to these commentaries that we do?
I might.
I'm kind of afraid to.
I'm not ruling it out of the realm of possibilities. I mean, we're rewatching every single Nick Cage movie again. I never really thought I'd be doing
something
like that.
We're up to 84 now. We have 85 episodes of the podcast as we record this up through Arsenal. It's been 84 movies.
Now I almost want to go back and watch some of this without us talking over it, just to hear how bad these jokes were. Because they're super bad.
There's so much better stuff to watch. You don't need
to watch
like
Bazooka Joe cartoon jokes.
There's no reason for you to watch The Best of Times a third time.
This was the best time to watch The Best of Times, probably.
Which Cage movie? I guess it's the action movies. Which ones have you seen the most? Action movies? Action trilogy?
Yeah, probably those, and then Raising Arizona, Honeymoon in Vegas. That look is great.
I also do like, this is thinking, this not has anything to do with anything, I do like that we're not recording these in order, because like, we can just jump around.
Yeah, that's kind of going to be a relief this time. I felt like going in order was something I wanted to do, and that was great, but yeah. I don't feel beholden to that format anymore.
We still got to figure out what the release schedule is going to be like, and the release order. This is definitely going to be the first one. It's going to come out, if you're listening to this, it's early August, so it's going to be like the two-year-ish anniversary of Cage Club. But then are we going to release them in the order we record them, or are we going to release...
In the order that they are released, or the ones that we get them done in. Yeah, we'll figure that out. I feel like this is way more loose than...
Loosey-goosey.
Especially considering how strict we were about Cage Club, like, you know, three a week, you know, hell or high water. Now we could sort of just let them come as they may. I mean, I definitely want to do at least one or two a month, you know, something like that, but... I feel like our schedule can be a little...
You don't think it's definitely not going to be more frequent than one a week.
Whoa, Cage does the split, takes the center stage, doing that Russian dance where he kicks his feet up. Another split into a spin, and he's out of there.
And now this guy can't even... He can't hold a candle. Like, this isn't even...
Oh, Crispin Glover is not doing his dance from Friday the 13th, Part 4. He becomes a much better / worse dancer than this.
He's peanuts dancing again, though.
Uh-huh. And I think that was Best of Times. Oh, here comes the outro.
Oh, the outro, yep.
And his room is clean right before bed.
Man, I enjoyed doing this.
Yeah, this was way more fun than I was expecting. I was expecting to have fun, but this was more fun than I was expecting.
We are going to do... So our sort of our recording goal, not that you need to know this, but we're going to do like once, pretty much like one Saturday a month and do like three or four a day. So this is the first.
First of the day.
So by the time we get to the third one of the day, three today, you know,
be a little punchy.
We're gonna find out.
It'll be interesting. I mean, every time we get together to do these, depending on what's on the schedule, what we're gonna watch, we may, you know, be either exhausted by the end or getting our second or third wind. Like, it's gonna be funny to see the attitude as these go along.
And I also get the sense. I wonder if we're gonna be talking about movies more or less as we get later in the day. Like, if we're going to be like, we ran out of other things to talk about, so let's just pay attention to what's on screen. Or if we're just like, I'm tired of watching movies, let's just talk about something else.
I always feel like the good thing about these are sort of like sticking to Cage. Like, what's good about commentaries is we could always just come back, you know, something can happen on screen and we could be like, oh, and that'll set us off about the movie again or bring us back. And then, yeah, I expect us to go on tangents quite often. Best of Times.
Is this the end?
Crispin Glover. Here comes the credit reel. Jill Schuleen. Nicholas Coppola.
Not even Nicholas Cage yet.
Lisa Hope Ross. Like, I don't know. David Rambo. Whoa.
I like that he's introducing these, like, you're going to remember these names. Like, just you wait.
Get used to hearing this. Nicholas Coppola.
We will see you soon, Crispin. Just a couple of movies. Showtime.
I don't remember seeing that last time. Showtime special, and that'll do it.
So come back whenever we release the next one, and we're—I don't know what's going to be. You're going to find out. So, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. CageClub.me, Facebook.com/CageClub.